And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to The Experience. It's been a while. Last time we were on, we were doing Farpoint live from the con. And ladies and gentlemen, we are a week away from Awesome Con, a convention that we hold dear to our hearts. We've been covering the con for, I believe, this will now be the fourth or fifth year in a row we've been covering Awesome Con on The Experience. Wanted to do a preview. We haven't done a preview show for a con in a while. And who better than to bring onto the show? He hasn't been on in a while. And that's our good friend, the founder of Awesome Con, the guy who runs the show, Mr. Ben Penrod. Ben, welcome back on The Experience, my friend.
Thanks for having me, man. How's it going?
I'm surviving. I just got to get through one more week, and then it's Awesome Con, and then we can celebrate.
Me too.
So, I mentioned that it's been a while since you've been on, and, minus the wrestling episode that you did with me live from Waldorf, the last time you and I have actually talked about Awesome Con on the show was maybe about 2, maybe 3 years ago when you did a previous preview episode. So I want to take a little bit of time to have you kind of go over the evolution of Awesome Con in these past couple years, because a few years ago, you had a science fair. Now it's FutureCon. You now have AwesomeCon Junior, which used to be like a little kid's alley. Why don't you tell us about how AwesomeCon has evolved over these last few years?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, that's a lot, kind of what you said. I mean, we've been doing a lot of the same things. I mean, we've been adding a lot of new things too, but, we had the science fair, which was, taking advantage of kind of a unique position that we were in to promote, science and technology, just because we're in D.C. All the science and technology companies are here. NASA's here, the National Science Foundation, Department of Energy, all that stuff. So we were taking advantage of that. And then the Smithsonian Magazine got involved, and they wanted to really, help pump this up to the next level. So we partnered with them and turned it into FutureCon, and now it's a whole, it's almost a con of its own inside of AwesomeCon. And we did a similar thing with the AwesomeCon Junior, where it used to be, it used to be like the kids zone, the kids area, something like that. And then it was just a little thing. And, we've been dedicated to being family friendly and kid friendly forever. I mean, I've got three kids, and I would want, I want AwesomeCon to be a place where they could go. So, and I want, for other families too. So that it's just evolved over the years, and it's become such a successful part of the con that it's grown into this, a whole other thing too, like AwesomeCon Junior, and it's got its own programming, it's got its own stage and all of that. So, so there's a lot of growth in that area. I mean, we're taking up a lot more of the convention center now. We're really using almost the entire building, I think, at this point. So it's a lot of just managed growth and it's stuff that we had planned for, years in advance. But we didn't really know exactly what it was going to look like, but this is the direction. We kind of went in this direction, and we knew that it would be, something like this. So we've just been kind of planning to get here for a while.
Now, you mentioned the Smithsonian getting involved and helping grow what is now FutureCon. Who has been a major sponsor or partner that has really helped with the growth of AwesomeCon Junior?
I think that kind of changes a little bit every year. I think this year we've got, I believe it's, we've got the Toy Association, who our parent company, puts on Playfair with. The Toy Association runs Toy Fair in New York City. It's a big toy, toy industry association. So the Toy Association was kind of, I think the big one to really get on board, because they have their relationships with everybody. And then I think DreamWorks is coming in this year, so I think that's going to be another really big one.
Yeah, and one of the other things that has actually grown, it wasn't something that kind of was just thrown together, but something that was more planned out, and that's your Pride Alley. Why don't you talk a little bit about how that has grown over the years, and Awesome Con's support of the LGBT community?
Yeah, so Pride Alley is sort of a spotlight on queer creators and fans. And it's sort of like, we've partnered with Geeks Out, who does, they do FlameCon in New York City, which is this amazing convention that hopefully I'll be able to get out there this year. I love FlameCon. And so, you know, we saw what they were doing with FlameCon, and we reached out and said, hey, can we do something like this, you know, at AwesomeCon? It would mean a lot to us to have your presence here. So that's kind of how that started out, and it's grown a little bit over the years. We've got a good number of artists in the Pride Alley area, and then we've got an entire programming track of Pride Alley panels, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, and one thing that I've also noticed is that, you've kept the dedication to, you mentioned it as part of Pride Alley, but as a whole, Artist Alley. You still bring in some of the big names in the comic world when it comes to art. What's it mean to you, especially for someone who actually used to sell comic books? What does it mean to you to still make sure that these comic artists and also writers who we'll talk about a little bit, to give them a spotlight?
I mean, it's part of the core of what AwesomeCon is. I've always brought in, comic creators, and we had, from the first year when we brought in, I think we had Justin Jordan and Larry Hama and a few others. We had Tom King at AwesomeCon the first year. And so Tom King has been to every AwesomeCon, which is pretty cool. So, and I don't want to get away from that. I wouldn't want to see AwesomeCon without the comic creators.
Actually, one comic artist that I really wish that you would bring back, I know you had him, I believe, year three, was Ben Temple Smith.
He was there the first year, too, in 2013.
Okay, see, I didn't get to go to the first one, but I've been going ever since the second one. And I remember meeting Steve Niles, who created 30 Days of Night.
Yeah, we had Niles and Temple Smith there, because Temple Smith, that was a pretty cool thing to do. Steve Niles was cool. I wonder, maybe that's somebody we'll see again in the future. I haven't spoken to him in a while. Oh,
Steve, I will say this right now. When I met Steve at my very first AwesomeCon, which is year two, he was one of the most amazing people to talk to. I actually wish I was podcasting, doing this show at that time. Obviously, this podcast didn't come until about a year later. Because Steve had some really great stories that he was sharing with me, and I'd really love to see him come back. But the funny thing is that I think it was year three with Ben Temple Smith, I actually wanted to get my copy of 30 Days a Night, the hardcover, autographed to go with Steve's. And I actually wussed out. I actually was legitimately afraid to actually meet Ben Temple Smith. I don't know why, but I love his work. His work is amazing.
He's such a cool guy, too. You should have, hopefully get to meet him. But he's like, he's super cool. And I think we planned to bring him back another time, but the schedule didn't work out. And he's such a busy guy, so it's one of those things where hopefully we'll have him back one year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And then also just looking at the list of comic guests you have Amanda Connor, who's working on Harley Quinn, who also did the hardcover for the Kickstarter campaign of Kicking Ice, which is a graphic novel about women's ice hockey. You have Arzia Roziger. Sorry if I butcher your name.
His name is Arzia Roziger.
And I have a friend on Facebook, too, and I still butcher it. So I am so sorry that I do
Arzia
that.
Arzia is a very cool guy. He's done a lot of creator-owned comic work, but he's also a professional colorist, and he does is really, really good, really good stuff.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Tom King, Bill McKay is coming, Chrissy Zullo. You have Amy Chu, who's a writer. Greg Capullo is going to be there. Jimmy Palmiotti, who writes Harley Quinn.
Yeah. So I've been trying to get Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti for years, and they're so busy too. So fortunately, they were able to make it out this year, which is great.
And then also, you got Kyle Higgins, who a lot of people in the comic world will know for like his DC Marvel work, but for us from Boom Studios, who've been following that, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Shattered Grid storyline, which was about a 20-issue arc that spanned all the universes together, which was really, really greatly done, and I can't wait to meet Kyle for that. If people can't figure this out, there is going to be a lot of nerding out on this podcast when we start talking about guests and stuff.
That's awesome.
It's just natural. We have to. We're excited. But yeah, Jimmy Palmiotti, I'm a huge fan of his work too. I can't wait to meet him. Actually, one person I'd really love to meet is Garth Ennis, who wrote the Punisher Max series.
Yeah, he's based in the UK, so it's kind of hard to get him.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Amazing work, though. And then, of course,
I've loved his Punisher Max. I love he's got The Boys coming out now, his new TV series on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. And then you have Timothy Zahn coming. And then, of course, I believe this is also another group that you've been bringing every year, Super Art Fight.
Yeah, they've been to every awesome con as well.
Now, for those of us living under a rock, can you tell us more about Super Art Fight?
Yeah, Super Art Fight is like a live art competition, and it's sort of done professional wrestling style with like that over the top commentary, and it's like a good natured competition. It's really, really fun. It's something that you kind of have to see to understand, but once you see it, it's really amazing.
Right. And then moving from comic artist to costume, I'm going to call him costume artist, as we go to our cosplay guest, we have the returning Maki Roll. You also have Moeezy, McCall Mosley, and Lewis Stardust. Obviously, we all know about Maki. She lives locally here in the area. But what can you tell us about some of the other cosplay guests that are coming into AwesomeCon this year?
So I've known Lua for a while. She's just she's a great cosplayer. She's been in the she's been around in the area. I don't know. I believe she's been to AwesomeCon before. And then Michael Mosley is he was at AwesomeCon last year too, and he's a really great, he does his own cosplay, but really he's a big time designer, and he does he makes
the new days.
Yeah, so he does last year he did the Black Panther costumes for the New Day, and he'll do sometimes he's done their costumes that they wear out to the ring and stuff like that. So it was really cool for us to get him to come back this year also.
Yeah, and of course, other people that he's worked on outside of the New Day has been Ember Moon in the WWE, Ring of Honor, or now AEW's Cody Rhodes, and from the NFL, Mike Daniels and Adam Gettys. And it says here in his bio that he's created more than 350 unique costumes from a variety of genres. So that's actually really cool. So, moving on, if your app will actually cooperate with me, which we were talking about before, it's like now you have an app.
Yeah.
While it's through Guidebook, it makes it easier for people to just go search into Google Play or Google Store. Yeah, Google Play, that's what it's called. Or the iPhone or the iTunes Store. You can just type in AwesomeCon now. Boom, there's the app. Download it. You can set your schedule. You can see who all the guests are. It updates like 16 times when you open it up for the first time in a while. But when doesn't Guidebook do that to you? Looking at the celebrity guests, you have a lot of great guests. I'm going to get this one out of the way real quickly because you know I can spend like the next 6 hours talking about this one. And that's Amy Jo Johnson, the original Pink Ranger, Kimberly Hart, coming to AwesomeCon. You know, she's also done the show Felicity. She's also a filmmaker in her own right. She's also put out a couple albums. What's it like to be having the original Pink Ranger at AwesomeCon and now being able to say that you've had every original Ranger outside of the original Yellow Ranger, who unfortunately passed away due to a car accident?
There's no way we're going to get her, but...
But you know, knowing that we have all... that this is the last one to get, what's it like to finally be able to say, hey, we've had all the original Power Rangers?
That's awesome, you know, and she's... I think she's, you know, she kind of arrived a little bit later onto the con scene, so it's been a little bit more difficult to get her. But, you know, it's been, it's great to have, you know, it's great to finally have her, and I can't wait to meet her and kind of close that loop and say we've had everybody at this point.
Yeah, and next thing you only have to do now after that is bring in Johnny Young Bosch and Steve Cardenas, and then you brought in the last two who did the replacement of three of the original Rangers in season two. But yeah, Amy Jo Johnson, I'm excited for her, but that's also because I'm a huge Power Rangers fan, and I also do have a Power Ranger podcast that will actually be debuting this summer with a old high school friend of mine. More details to come on that as time comes along.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. The working name right now, I'll put this out there, and if Ed gets mad at me for it, too bad. The working name right now for the podcast is called Power Dorks. So it's a working title. If anyone has any better ideas, let me know. I'll listen to them, and I'll send them to my buddy Ed out in California, and we'll debate the name of what we're going to be calling ourselves. But judging by your laugh, I think you're approving of the name.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay. So moving on, we gotta do our first group here, and that is the Princess Bride group. You have Carrie Elwes, Chris Sarandon, and Wallace Shawn. Of course, Wallace Shawn was recently up at Farpoint this February, and this will be Carrie's second appearance here at AwesomeCon. What was it like working with Carrie the first time, and how great is it to be actually getting him to come back this year?
It was cool. So I'll just give you a quick story about Carrie the first time. He had flown in from a movie he was filming in Alaska, I think, on a red eye. So he was on a very long flight. He got in Saturday morning, I believe, and did Saturday and Sunday at the con and then flew right back. And he was so jet lagged. And he had like four giant iced coffees each day. And it was like so funny. But I mean, he's such a great guy, and everybody who met him had an awesome experience. But it was kind of funny behind the scenes because I knew he was so tired.
Now, adding in Wallace Shawn, who was his first real antagonist in The Princess Bride, and then Chris Sarandon, who is essentially the main antagonist in the film, what's it like having both Chris and Wallace coming to AwesomeCon for the first time?
I'm so hyped. I've been trying to put this thing together forever, so because I'm such a huge Princess Bride fan. So
who isn't?
Yeah, well, exactly. But it's something, you know, for me, it was really personal. It's something that I've wanted to do for a long time, and so I'm really glad that it's able to happen. And then, Chris and Wallace are both so well known for their voice work, also. So you can't let that go. You know, Chris was Jack Skellington, which is huge. And then Wallace Shawn has been everywhere, but probably mostly known as Rex from Toy Story.
Yep. And then I actually I got to meet Wallace back at Farpoint in February. And one of the roles that I actually love him in, and a lot of people may forget about, this little movie called House Arrest with Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Pollak, I believe Jonathan Taylor Thomas and Jennifer Love Hewitt were in it. Actually, no, Jonathan Taylor Thomas wasn't in it. It was somebody else who was in it. But I remember that movie. That was actually my first actual introduction to Wallace Shawn. Even though Toy Story had also been out, but I, you know, as a kid, you never put one and one together.
Yeah.
Until much later, until you go, oh, okay, so that's who that person is. So, but yeah, I actually loved Wallace Shawn in House Arrest. I thought he was amazing in that. And, but yeah, Chris, I'm actually excited for, as you mentioned, Jack Skellington. You can't go wrong with that character either. I just watched that movie recently too, Nightmare Before Christmas.
I found it, so last year I did Halloween Horror Nights at Universal, and I got really into that. I was going to that a whole bunch, and they had a big area that was Chucky themed, so I went back and watched the original Child's Play, and I didn't realize that Chris Sarandon is kind of he's like the main hero for that. He's like the main protagonist for Child's Play and in the first Chucky movie. I think he was in the second one too. I'm not sure. I never saw that one, but I thought that was pretty cool.
Nice. Now, this next person that we're going to talk about real quick, I think if Awesome Con had a Hall of Fame, he would have his own wing already. And that's John Barrowman, who's now coming to, I believe, his fourth consecutive Awesome Con now.
I think it's fourth.
Yeah. Obviously, John, he loves Awesome Con. He loves coming to DC. My mom, as you know, I bring my mom to Awesome Con every year now. She's a huge John Barrowman fan, and it's just the number one thing my mom has said to me every time about John Barrowman is just that you never know what to expect from him on any of the days, because one day he could do one thing, and then the next day he'll do another, and then on the last day he'll do something like completely off the wall, but it'll be so entertaining.
He's nuts, yeah.
What's it like having John? Especially to you.
Yeah, he's pretty much the same kind of guy behind the scenes. You know, maybe a little more serious. But he's still just, you know, he's John Barrowman. You know, he's an over the top personality. He's super cool. I mean, I've seen him at so many cons at this point, not just at Awesome Con, but I usually bump into him at San Diego Comic Con every year and stuff like that. So, you know, he's such a great guy, and I'm so happy that we get to have him at Awesome Con, you know, basically every year. I'm sure there'll be a year where he misses one or two years, but for the most part, he's always there.
Right. Now, this one actually caught me by surprise, and I actually was really happy that you're doing this. And you and I have talked about this before, about how my mom and I now do one photo op a year at Awesome Con, where we do it together. And for the longest time, we were actually debating doing the Princess Bride group. And then you had to go and announce Weird Al Yankovic. That is awesome. And first and foremost, we have to put this out there. Weird Al is going to be doing autographs, photo ops, and a Q&A session. He will not be performing at Awesome Con because he will be performing at Wolf Trap in July, which you can actually buy tickets at the Wolf Trap booth at Awesome Con next weekend. What's it like having Weird Al coming to Awesome Con?
It's awesome. Like I've been trying to get Weird Al forever. And so finally happens, which is the story about a lot of these guys, but for Weird Al especially, Weird Al is so huge for me personally. I tried to book him a few years ago, but he's been doing tours and stuff, and he's been busy during Awesome Con for the past like 3 years or so. But we booked him for the Rose City Comic Con, which we also do. That was like 2 years ago, and that was like, I was like, okay, well, we can book Weird Al. This is a real thing, and I was so hyped to get that done, and then to finally get him, you know, his schedule's lined up, the stars aligned, and we got, you know, we were able to bring him in for AwesomeCon this year. I'm so excited to have him at AwesomeCon. I'm just, he's the, you know, maybe as far as I'm concerned, maybe the biggest, you know, star we've had.
Now, obviously, Weird Al, widely known for his music, also does a lot of acting as well. By announcing him, obviously, the number one question, and I obviously mentioned what he will be doing at AwesomeCon. People wanted to know if he was going to perform, which he won't. Could we see the Awesome Concert return? I remember it. Remember you guys doing it for the second year, which was my first year going. You had Andrew WK doing it. Could we ever see the concert come back in at a future AwesomeCon?
Possibly. I don't know. It's been something we've talked about, something we've tried to do, but it just hasn't happened for whatever reason. I wouldn't count it out. It's an expensive thing. So it's got to be the right thing.
Yeah. And I definitely have to say Andrew WK was definitely the right thing for it.
That was another thing that was really personal for me. And that was something I really wanted to do. And it turned out to be a really cool thing.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice if his song Party Hard wasn't the goal song for the Pittsburgh Penguins, but I'm not holding that against him. So, and of course with that, I do a hockey reference, got a shout out to our good friend, Wes Johnson, who's the PA announcer for the Washington Capitals, who I will be seeing tomorrow night, 'cause I am going to the Capitals game 5, against the Carolina Hurricanes, for the first round. It's always great to see Wes Johnson, at AwesomeCon. Especially for me seeing him, because I'm seeing him away from hockey, which is what him and I always talk about the most. But to be able to talk to him about the video game work he does and the acting work that he has done, I really love that Wes Johnson's going to be coming back this year again, especially in the fact that we're in the midst of a playoff push again like we were last year where we won the Stanley Cup. So what's it like for you to have Wes there?
Wes is great. He's always been really supportive of AwesomeCon, and he's somebody that I'm really always happy to have. We did a TV appearance together a few years ago, and I kind of I think it was my first TV appearance for that year, and I don't know what happened, but I just blanked when they were asking me something, and I'm usually pretty good. I'm usually pretty good on TV, and for whatever reason, I just blanked. I think he recognized that and just jumped in and kind of saved my bacon and covered for me. I'm always grateful to Wes for that. It probably was nothing to him. He was probably, you know, he's such a pro, and so it was one of those things that was really funny, and it was just a short little thing. But I always I love spending time with Wes. He's such a cool guy. I saw him at MAGFest too this year.
Yeah, and. Yeah, I can just go on about how great Wes is, about all the advice he's ever given me, especially when he learned that I was originally going into acting. Obviously, that transitioned to me being more into hosting, which has actually been more fruitful for me in a way, even though I don't see any dollars or cents, or I haven't seen a penny come in for it. But a lot of the advice he's given me, I've been able to utilize on these podcasts and stuff like that. So, definitely a great friend to have. Now, I'm putting this kind of like in the middle of the show because I don't want to end the show with it, because it's one of our biggest things that we love, and that's obviously professional wrestling. And at the RF video booth, they're going to have Billy Gunn and Sergeant Slaughter. And, of course, obviously, Billy Gunn recently going into the WWE Hall of Fame as part of DX this year, and Sergeant Slaughter, a WWE Hall of Famer in his own right. But the big name that you have is WWE legend and Hall of Famer Sting. what's it like to get the icon, the Stinger, coming to AwesomeCon this year?
It's cool, man. I've seen Sting at other cons before. It's just kind of this cool thing where you're just like, this guy's sort of larger than life, and it's just such a, I don't know, it's just a cool thing to have somebody like Sting at the con. I think he's going to be real busy the whole time, and I can't wait to see him and get my picture taken with him.
Yeah, I actually have a really cool story about Sting. It involves also our good friend Phil Stamper and our late great friend, who I miss so freaking much still to this day, Mansa. But yeah, there's a really cool story, and I'm actually going to share it with you off air for a reason. I don't want to share it on air, but I'll share it when we're at the convention, though, when we do the podcast recording at the convention. But I'll share it with you when we end this recording, though. But I really want to meet Sting because of that story. But one question I do have for you is this. Is Sting being brought in through WWE, or is there actually not going to be any WWE talent coming into AwesomeCon this year, unlike the past years? Like, where last year you had the New Day, the year before that Charlotte Flair and Shinsuke Nakamura, and then Seth Rollins and Natalya the year before that.
I think Sting's coming in through WWE. I'm not totally sure what all the details are. I'm not the one who personally, I didn't personally book Sting for this year, but I believe he's coming in through WWE, and what I think is that I think they're doing an international tour or something like that, so they didn't have a lot of their main roster guys available right now.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, because it's just something that, you know, people were wondering a little bit about. We're used to around WrestleMania season, we get like a WWE superstar on the roster getting announced, but you know what? You're still getting Sting. You're getting a WWE Hall of Famer. You're getting the franchise of WCW. Which that alone is really cool. Are you sure you didn't try to get the Undertaker though with his $25,000 an hour fee? Did you try for that?
I don't. I'm not sure what his fee is, but
no, that's the fee. That is legitimately the fee.
I haven't heard about that, but
yeah. So long story short,
but I don't know. I don't know that he was available.
Yeah, so long story short, he just re-signed a deal with WWE, which prevents him from taking outside bookings unless it's through the WWE now. And according to reports, I guess his agent was having it where it was $20,000 to $25,000 an hour for The Undertaker to do appearances.
Well, he's a very, he doesn't do a lot of appearances, so...
Yeah. I'm still jealous. You have your picture with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I paid a good amount of money for that, so.
And it's well worth it.
I think that was one of the first con appearances he ever did.
Wasn't that Ace Con or something like that, or Ace Comic Con up in Long Island?
Coliseum.
Yeah. So, moving on. Oh, and by the way, of course, everyone, you can see myself with my Awesome Mania co-host, Ben Taylor, alongside with you, Ben, and Castaway Studios' Brian Massey as we do Awesome Mania on Friday, April 26th, from 1:30 p.m. to 3:15 p.m. in Panel Room 149. For those of you obviously listening through the website, we do have a link to our Facebook event page for the panel. And also at the bottom of the page, we also have the link to the AwesomeCon website, so you can purchase a badge to go to the show, because that's the only way you're going to be able to get into the panel. And I'm actually excited to get you back on the panel, because the funny thing is that I remember the very first time I was on the panel, I was actually your seat warmer.
Mm.
And then the next year I wasn't even on the panel, and then since then, I've taken over as like the producer of the panel. So.
Yeah, so I think it was like I almost, I almost, you know, didn't make it that 1 year. Cause the 1 year I didn't make it, and then, I think 1 year I was supposed to be on the panel, and I couldn't make it because they, something came up. I had to deal with the police. Somebody stole something.
I remember year two, you had to leave the panel early because you got a text message saying that somebody had, like, money stolen from a table or something.
I think I missed it that year. Maybe I had to leave another year early. I don't know, but it, you know.
I remember you had to leave. I remember my first year going to Awesome Con at the wrestling panel. You left midway through the panel because you got a text message that said, "Hey, I'm needed."
Yeah, and I had to jump out. There was some crazy stuff going on. I don't have as many on-site duties as I used to now, so it's a little more flexible when I'm at the con.
Which is good. You get to relax a little bit and enjoy the show a little bit more. But I'm actually excited to have you on. I know Ben's really excited to have you back on after your guys' Twitter exchange.
Oh my god. I've got a panel on Friday also at 5:30 that's going to be just about, you know, Awesome Con and stuff. It's just me.
And that was what the Kickstarter panel.
It originally was like the Kickstarter panel, but everybody's invited now.
Yay. Everyone's invited.
Yeah, it dropped the first few years there was a lot of people there, and then it was less people. So I was like, well, we'll just open it up.
Yeah. But everyone, Ben and I are obviously talking about panels that we're both on. You want to come to the panels, go to awesome-con.com. We have the link on the bottom of the page of the article with this podcast episode. Definitely go there, pre-order your badge so you can pick it up at the show. You don't want to miss it, especially when we talk about this next guest, which is Mr. Jason Isaacs. He was Colonel Tavington in The Patriot, which is what I really remember him from. He was Captain Hook and Mr. Darling and Peter Pan. He was in Black Hawk Down, Event Horizon, Armageddon, which I didn't even remember that he was actually
in Armageddon. I haven't seen Event Horizon in forever. That was like the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to need to rewatch that.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was in Armageddon. Like, I need to go back and rewatch that and see him in there. But of course, now obviously he was Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter films, and actually now he is Gabriel Lorca in Star Trek Discovery on CBS. So, what's it like actually getting a active Star Trek cast member currently right now? Because this is going to lead into something.
Yeah, I think I don't follow Star Trek. I think that's like the one like nerdy thing that I just never really got into.
Yes. So,
weirdly enough, I'm excited. And anytime, you know, we've got a lot of Next Generation folks at the con this year, which is I've been waiting for the right year to do Next Generation stuff. So finally, we've done it, and it's something that's fresh, and we haven't done it a million times, and it's, you know, to get to year seven and not have done the, you know, Next Generation guys before is amazing. So I was holding off until it was kind of the right time for that. So that was good. But, you know, the Star Trek, having a Star Trek captain is huge. We've had, Shatner at the con before.
Yep.
And, I think he's the only one.
You've had Shatner and you've had T'Kai.
They were there in 2015, yep. And so, you know, that was pretty huge. And so and we've had a few other kind of, you know, people who had done Star Trek stuff.
You had Michael Dorn last year.
Yeah, we had the Deep Space Nine guys last year. We had Michael, yep, Dorn and Renee
Garrett Wang.
And we've had Garrett Wang, and we've also had Will Wheaton, who's... Wait, Will's coming back this year, right?
Yes, he is, which...
So, it was with the Next Generation guys, so we've had Will already. And we had one other person that was a Star Trek guy.
Yeah, it was Michael Dorn was on Next Generation. And then he did Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, but we were doing, like, kind of a Deep Space Nine thing. Yeah. That was last year. There was one other person. There's somebody else. Ooh. That was like a Star Trek person. I don't know. I'll think of it. I'll think of it later.
But going into Next Generation, you have Brent Spiner,
yeah.
Gates McFadden, Will Wheaton, Jonathan Frakes, and Marina Sirtis. Now, the funny thing is that when you're announcing all the Star Trek Next Generation people, the way it was being done, we were literally going, okay, they're announcing Patrick Stewart. They're going to announce Patrick Stewart. And then Patrick was never announced. Obviously, Patrick is now working on his new Star Trek show, which is Picard, where he reprises his role as Jean-Luc Picard. Was the plan originally to try to get Patrick Stewart?
I don't know. I'm sure we looked into it. You know, I've tried to get Patrick Stewart every year since 2014. So it's not like I just don't think he's not interested in doing a lot of shows anymore. And so I don't think that was ever our expectation that we were going to get him for this year. But you know, if he was available, if it was something he wanted to do, or if he had the time and interest in doing it, we'd probably, you know, we'd book him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, because I mean, one way or the other. I mean, I met Marina; she's a lovely person. Will, obviously, was at AwesomeCon last year. I never got to personally meet him, but I heard nothing but great things about him.
Will had a great show. Yeah, everybody loved him, and I had Marina at my Central Florida Comic Con in January.
And then, but what's it like to be able to, like you were mentioning it, the timing is right. To you, how do you decide when the timing is right for something like this, like a reunion, like the Next Generation reunion, or say down the line, you want to do a first season Power Rangers reunion or a Harry Potter type reunion? How do you gauge that? And how do you really decide when it's the right time?
So, short of there being like some major anniversary or some reason, you know, I think it's more about everybody being available at the same time, and I think we had tried to do the Next Generation thing once or twice before, and we couldn't get everybody together. So, you know, the timing has to be right in that aspect. It's like five people's schedule has to line up, and they're all pretty busy still, so. It's a lot of just making sure that they're all on the same page and booking them out early enough.
Right. Now, I'm going to blank on the third person, but from Weird Science, you have Anthony Michael Hall, Kelly LeBrock, and I'm blanking on the third name for that group. Like the name is probably staring me in the face. I just can't say it.
Yeah. What's it now? I don't know how to say his first name. It's like Island Michael Smith.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Island Mitchell Smith. So you have the Weird Science cast coming. I personally know Kelly LeBrock from Hard to Kill, a Steven Seagal movie.
Yes.
That's how I know her. But what's it like to be able to get some of the cast members from Weird Science? And not only that, but Anthony Michael Hall from Breakfast Club.
Yeah, it's cool. It's huge, and it's sort of a thing that we hadn't really done before, so that's more interesting. And you know, Weird Science is just one of those movies that like is just beloved. You know, like and everybody loves it.
And then you got Lou Ferrigno, who I know you've probably have met and worked with in the past. What's he like, being that how this is his first time coming to AwesomeCon?
We said that's Lou?
Lou Ferrigno?
Yeah, so obviously Lou is iconic, so we've never really been able to get him out to AwesomeCon before, but he's one of those guys that's just like everybody knows him.
And what's he like?
So I haven't really worked with him before. I mean, I know people who know Lou and have said that he's great and that he, is really good with fans and stuff. But I don't really know him too well, so this is going to be interesting to meet him.
Now, I'm trying to find them. So you have some people who have been dusted by Thanos, or I mean by Netflix, and John Bernthal, who was Frank Castle, the Punisher. I'm trying to find the names. I believe Mike Coulter, who was Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And you had the guy who played Iron Fist.
No, it wasn't Iron Fist.
Iron Fist.
He was in Luke Cage. I forget what his character's name was in Luke Cage, but his name is shoot.
As we both like frantically go for the guess.
I'm trying to think of his name, but he has been, you know, he was in Theo Rossi. He was in Luke Cage.
Yeah. So they've been dusted by Thanos. I mean Netflix.
Yeah.
Thanks to Disney doing their Disney Plus. What it sounds like these shows may actually be going to Hulu, but we'll wait to see what happens with that. What's it like being able to bring in these guys? Obviously, John also being from The Walking Dead, a massive show that everyone loves. What's it like to have these guys there?
It's huge, and I've been trying to get these guys for the past few years, so for them to be available now is really great.
Now, you have Michael Biehn.
Michael Biehn.
Biehn, all right, from Terminator, Aliens, The Abyss, Tombstone, The Rock, Planet Terror, which, anything that's like sci-fi or he probably does it.
Action sci-fi. Yeah.
You know, acting on the other end of, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, so that's a big get. But speaking of Tombstone, the very first guest that you announced for AwesomeCon, it's Batman himself, Val Kilmer. What's it like to actually be bringing in Val Kilmer?
It's huge. I'm a huge fan of Val Kilmer. From, you know, I loved like Top Gun and The Doors and Unforgiven, and I love Batman Forever. Unapologetically, I love Batman Forever.
Hey, you don't have to apologize to me. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I love Batman Forever, too.
Yeah, I feel like if you don't love Batman Forever, there's something. I mean, it was so good. Like, it's so much fun. To watch that movie is just all, it's 100% fun.
The funny thing is like, when it came out, like, I think you're like, what, a couple years older than I am?
Yeah, I'm like...
Because I'm 32, yeah. So you got like 4 years on me, because I'll be 33 in October, and you know, I remember like that came out like what, 95, so like I was like 8 or 9 years old when that came out, and I enjoyed watching it. I loved seeing Jim Carrey as the Riddler. I loved seeing Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. You know,
it was the perfect movie for you know, my age at the time, and you know, me being a super nerd with you know, just loving anything Batman at the time. So it was so good. And I also liked him in The Saint, which is kind of a weird sort of mid-90s style action movie that preceded Mission Impossible 1. But Mission Impossible 1 also had that kind of same weird vibe. But I loved The Saint.
Yeah. Now I want to go back to Batman Forever real quick, because I think you'll agree with me at this point. When we're younger watching that, when it first came out, me being 8 or 9 years old, you being a little, like 4 years old, 3 to 4 years older than I am. You know, being at that age, we see that and we go, ooh, it's Batman, it's the Riddler, it's Two-Face. We're having a lot of fun with it. Ooh, look at the pretty colors and stuff like that. When you watch it when you're this age now, like our age, in our 30s, and you actually like pay attention to actually what the story really is about, it actually has a really good story plot line to it about, and I really love how Val plays Bruce in that, when it comes to where, how he's trying to deal with the duality of trying to be Bruce Wayne and Batman, and trying to cope with his past and the death of his parents. I really like how they did that with Batman Forever. You know, when you look back at it and watch it again. So it's actually really kind of cool. And then, of course, you have Batman and Robin, which I'm actually very grateful that George Clooney still starts every panel that he ever does at a, at like San Diego Comic-Con apologizing for that movie.
That movie's so hard to watch. I don't know if you've tried to watch it recently, but it is terrible.
All I'll say is this. I like the fact that they play hockey in the movie. And I love Uma Thurman in the movie. Uma actually makes that movie watchable for me. I think you can agree to that. She was actually one of the best parts of the movie.
She did what she could.
Yeah. So, Ben?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah. But, yeah. But, no. Like, Uma, I thought, was, like, the best thing in that film. And talking about one of the best things in film, you got to talk about some voice actors. And coming to Awesome Con, I believe, for the very first time, is Miss Tara Strong. Who has done, like, Harley Quinn, Batgirl, Barbara Gordon, I know her from a lot of the Batman stuff, because obviously I watch a lot of Batman stuff. But I'll throw this out there. She's done Rugrats, Powerpuff Girls, Fairly Odd Parents, Teen Titans, Teen Titans Go, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. She's done the Batman Arkham series as Harley Quinn. Final Fantasy X2, Mortal Kombat 10. There's about like she was actually the main character, Juliet Starling, in Lollipop Chainsaw, which, by the way, super underrated game. I love that freaking game, which was made by James Gunn. I love that game. Like, I can't wait, because if the rumors are true about PS5, the PlayStation 5 doing full backwards compatibility, I still got all my PS1, PS2, PS3 games, and I'm totally pulling out some Lollipop Chainsaw.
That's awesome.
I'm just for that. But having Tara, who is somebody who we both follow on Twitter, and not just because of her talent, but because of the other stuff that she advocates online through social media. For us, we're obviously nerding out, and I know you're going to say it's awesome to have her there, but how does it feel to finally have her at Awesome Con?
It's cool. I think for a long time she wasn't doing cons, so to have her now kind of, you know, more in the con scene, it's really good. I'm such a huge fan of Teen Titans Go. I think Teen Titans Go to the Movies was one of the best movies of last year, and I think it's super underrated, and it was so good. So I'm really hyped to have her.
Yeah, I liked how they used the end credit scene to actually announce that they're having another season.
Yeah,
I thought that I haven't seen it, but I read about that part, and I was like, okay, that's actually really creative and cool. And so that was pretty cool. And then obviously coming to his seventh consecutive Awesome Con, this is another person that I would put right in the Awesome Con Hall of Fame with Mr. John Barrowman. And that is Phil Lamar. I'm just going to let you take that away right there. So, but yeah, you have Phil Lamar every Awesome Con. How would you describe the relationship between Phil and Awesome Con?
It's
awesome.
Yeah. Like, how to describe, you know, he's been to every Awesome Con. He's super important. He's important to have at Awesome Con. He's the type of guy, like, just as a person, who is really amazing. And he's done so much, you know, important, influential work that, I mean, he fits as a guest at Awesome Con regardless, but he's you know, as someone who's been to every Awesome Con now, it's kind of like, it's important for him to make it out to the con every year.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, this is what, my 6th year coming to Awesome Con now? I still haven't met him yet at an Awesome Con.
Yeah, he's great. You should,
It's always because he's always had even though he's at the con every year, he's always had that consistent line.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know me, like, being how the past years, outside of doing Awesome Mania, I would also moderate some celebrity panels, which this year I'm actually not doing, which, you know, it is what it is. You know, I've always had my own schedule I've had to run on. This year, I have a little bit more flexibility. So, like, Phil is definitely somebody I'd like to get to meet. And, you know, if the cards align this year, then that'll be totally awesome, because he's been somebody on my bucket list to want to meet. Kind of like how it was to meet Adam West, and now I'm still kicking myself in the ass on that one. So, but yeah, so, Ben, we've gone through almost the entire guest list. Obviously, you just had the almost. There's still a lot of names. Like we can't go through all of them in an hour. We really can't. There's a reason why certain segments had to be shortened up. But for all those who are listening, you want to go to the convention, go to awesome-con.com. You can buy your autograph tickets. You can buy your photo op tickets. Please note that certain autograph tickets are sold out, but will be sold at the show as well.
I'm pretty sure everything will be on sale at the con,
yeah,
if it's not online.
Yeah, so if it's not on sale online, don't fret. It will be on sale at the show. You can purchase your badges. Please note, if you do want to come to Awesome Mania, you do need to have a badge to come to our panel. We cannot have people just showing up at random. There is security that is checking to make sure you have a badge. So, but yeah, awesome-con.com. I had one final point, and I keep blanking on it. Me being me, you know how I am. No, I think I did hit all of them. I did hit the majority that I wanted to hit. So, okay, yeah. So, okay, I guess we did do everything. So with that... Welcome to confusion at the end of the show on how we close out a show. But Ben, real quick, where can the people find you on social medias?
Oh, man. I'm at on Twitter. I'm at AwesomestBen. That's pretty much it. You can look up Instagram. I don't remember what it is, but sometimes I'm on Instagram.
What's Instagram?
I don't remember what it is. It's I think it's Ben underscore Penrod. But...
No. I'm asking, what is Instagram?
What is it?
Isn't that thing with all the pictures and only pictures?
It's pretty cool. I'm there sometimes, but mostly Twitter. But I mean,
yeah, I'm Twitter and Facebook like all the way. But so Awesome is Ben on Twitter. Just search Ben Penrod on Instagram if you really want to follow him. Which he may be like me, where he just doesn't post at all on there. But Ben, definitely thank you for coming on. I can't wait to have you on the panel. It's been too long since we've had you on the Awesome Mania panel. And I'll try to hold Ben back as much as I can.
It's okay. I can handle it.
Okay. Sounds good. Because I was going to sit at one end of the table, have Ben at the other end of the table, and probably have you sitting next to Ben anyways. So, but ladies and gentlemen... I'll say it for the 5 millionth time now. Awesome-con.com. Get your tickets. And yes, we do know it's also the weekend of Avengers Endgame. So that's actually where I wanted to end it. Ben, are you going to see Endgame before AwesomeCon, or are you going to wait till after AwesomeCon?
I'm going to see it. I'll be at the Smithsonian at the
on Aaron Thursday?
IMAX Thursday, 10:45 p.m.
Okay.
I'll be there.
I can't do that showing. Just because of the time of it, and Metro won't be running when we get out of it. So I am actually seeing it this Thursday, 6:45 p.m. in Germantown, Maryland.
Oh, man. That's cool. That works. I'm going to a 6 p.m. show also.
So I wanted to do the 10:45 p.m. showing. It just wasn't going to work out logistically for me, travel-wise. Otherwise, I would have done it. But yeah, I am definitely seeing Endgame before AwesomeCon, so that will be great. So anyone who sees it, definitely feel free to come to Ben and I and talk about Endgame, because we'll have seen it, and so it won't be spoilers to us. How about that? You know, it's a shame it's too late to put in a panel where we could just have people who have seen Endgame and just talk about Endgame.
Yeah, I don't know. If anybody can come talk to me about Endgame, we'll like duck into a corner and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that then. But so with that, ladies and gentlemen, this has been The Experience. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, awesome-con.com. You want to come, hit the link on the website, hit the link for the Facebook event for Awesome Mania. You don't want to miss it.
And I'll see you there.
We'll see you there, and we're going to have an awesome time, baby.